This is Witchcraft Off the Beaten Path. I'm Molly Dyer. The date of today's episode is November 24th, 2021. Inversely, this is Season 2, Episode 42, which we all know is the meaning of life. So this episode might just hold the answers to all the queries you've had in your lifetime, because it's Episode 42. Then again, it might just be an episode. That's most likely what it's going to end up being. It's also the episode that falls the day before American Thanksgiving. So happy Thanksgiving to all of my fellow Americans. And remember, when you're carving your turkey tomorrow, or your tofurkey, or your ham, or your goose, or biting into your cheeseburgers, or chicken tikka masala, or your Marie Callender's chicken pot pie, whatever you do to celebrate, if you celebrate, just remember that this holiday should have everything to do with just celebrating how thankful you are for your many blessings, like your family, your friends, the food on your table, your ability to earn a wage if you're able, the roof over your head, and nothing whatsoever to do with pilgrims or with pilgrims, quote unquote, sharing their supper table with, quote unquote, Indians or any of that bullshit. Let's call it what it is and call out what it wasn't. And it wasn't a peaceful gathering of pilgrims and our indigenous peoples. That's the lie we've all been carving into and devouring with a side of green bean casserole at our privileged tables for hundreds of years now. Tomorrow, when you sit down to Thanksgiving dinner with those you love, keep that in mind. One of my dogs is in the living room right now where I am recording this, and she's devouring a ham bone, so I apologize for the sound of carnage in the background. Damn, baby, seriously, go easy on that bone. That's what he said. My last episode was about witch talk, the witchcraft content on TikTok. I guess I surprised a few of the good witches over on TikTok by promoting their channels, which I'm super happy to do. I like to lift up other women and see them succeed, but I also like doing that for other witches, be they female, male, binary, non-binary, trans, it don't matter. I love you witches, and that's my point. I want to lift y'all up. And that includes another witch on TikTok that unfortunately I found after my Witch Talk episode, and that's another Appalachian folk witch, and that's Zandra at Appalachian.molotov on TikTok. Let me tell you, I wouldn't want to get on Zandra's bad side. I think I'd want her on my team. I like this witch, y'all. To say she's no nonsense would be like saying that I'm mildly against gatekeeping. Zandra is definitely someone you want to follow if you're looking for information about Appalachian folk witchcraft. She and Ophelia underscore Omega, who I will call Ophelia from here on out, whom I spoke highly of on the last episode, are a couple of kindreds, evidently, where Appalachian folk witchcraft is concerned. And I will admit, I'm kind of hoping to get a tiny fangirl squee out of Zandra with this episode. Thanks for the shout out, lady. A couple other witch talk accounts I wanted to mention were Twisted Twigs at twisted.twigs and Susie at Terminally Homosexual, which is a fucking fantastic screen name. I stumbled upon Terminally Homosexual and Susie, figuratively, of course, upon her channel through a video about witches in the broom closet. It struck a chord with me because that was the topic I had planned to write about for this episode. There are plenty of broom closet videos on TikTok, specifically on witch talk, but this one slapped, and here's why. It opens, damn, seriously, girl, get that bone. God, the women in my family. It opens with Susie saying, and I quote, "If you have to hide your practice for any reason, you'd be called a broom closet witch, and you're super valid, so let's show some tips." Period. That was it. I was captive at that point. And here's why. Because I'm still in the broom closet. Yeah, I'm a broom closet witch. Now you might be saying, Molly, ma'am, you have a podcast. How the fuck are you in the broom closet? Well, I'm sort of mostly in the broom closet. And my name isn't actually Molly Dyer. You knew that already, if you've been listening for a while. If you didn't know that because you missed those episodes or you're new to my podcast, well, now you know it. I've never made it a secret that Molly Dyer is my pseudonym. That's for anonymity. And as Ophelia Omega said, if you don't know who Moll Dyer or Mary Dyer was, you should look her up. My name is in honor of Moll Dyer, who died in 1697, branded a witch. So yes, I have a podcast, and by the time this episode airs, it will have been downloaded more than 200,000 times in more than 120 countries and territories around the globe, and yet somehow, I'm still partially in the broom closet. How? And why? Well, those are great questions. The how is anonymity, which I'm admittedly not great at sometimes. Many of you know me in my mundane personality, and a few of you actually know me in person. And still others of you listening used to know me in person, and you don't anymore, but you creep and you listen because you think you've got me figured out. And yeah, I know you creep. I'm not stupid. If you used to know me, but you don't know me anymore, I'm not the same person that I used to be. I'm not the person you knew. No one who goes through intentional emotional growth remains the same person that they were. So you may think you've got me all figured out and you know who I am, but here's the thing. I wasn't hiding. I'm not trying to pull the wool over anybody's eyes. For personal reasons, I'm just trying to maintain some of my privacy. So, for better or worse, that's the how part of me being partially in the broom closet. But what about the why? Well, the whys are for many of the same reasons anybody stays in the broom closet ever. It would be wonderful were I able to live my life completely out loud, not only as a queer member of the LGBTQIA+ community, which I'm not so worried about hiding these days, and a member of the neurodivergent community, which I'm also not so worried about hiding these days, but also as an out, proud, and loud member of the international witchcraft and pagan community, and member of the global witch village. But for my own reasons, I can't be completely out. I won't be. I can't be. It's safer for me personally to feel as if I'm more witchcraft adjacent appearing than witchcraft central appearing. I'm obviously more witchcraft central in my real life, closeted though it might be. Does that fact cause people to judge me? Well, in short, yeah, it does. Other witches will judge me for opting out of living my life as a proud, out-of-the-broom-closet witch. But here's the thing. That's their problem, not mine. I am so sincerely super happy for my friends who hide nothing about their practice, their belief system, their craft. Someday, maybe I'll be on that side of the closet door. But for now, I'm still sort of straddling that threshold. But here's the cool thing. If you're also straddling the threshold of the broom closet, or if you've got the door cracked and maybe you're peeking out, or even if you're firmly, completely ensconced within the broom closet with the door locked from the inside and no intention of ever letting in enough light for you to be seen by anyone on the outside, you are still valid. You are still a witch. Those things you're doing are still witchcraft. You are no less a witch in your broom closet than a witch marching down East Capitol Boulevard in Washington, D.C., wearing a pointed hat and carrying a banner that says witches' rights on it. Remember, in the old days, witchcraft was a secret. There was no such thing as carrying a banner and marching for witches' rights. You'd be burned at the stake or hanged or pressed. We were to know, to dare, to will, and to keep silent. It's that silent part. Being closeted is sort of in a witch's DNA. I feel like it's part of the mystery. So, Should you stay in the broom closet? Or should you come busting out of that broom closet door like the Kool-Aid man crashing through a brick wall? Well, here's the thing about that. That's nobody's decision but your own. Is it easier to live your life out loud outside of the broom closet? And now, just so you know, dear listener, both my dogs are in the living room with their bones. It's going to be a bone cacophony in here. It's a real bone show. I can't stop. I'm cracking myself up. Is it easier to live your life out loud, outside of the broom closet? It might seem so to you if you're listening to this from the safety of your proverbial broom closet. The grass is always greener on the other side. But the truth is, there's no way to answer that question without stepping outside of the closet. And it can be really, really scary. Everyone's journey is different, so someone making it seem like life is great out loud, for them, it might be, and it might not be for someone else. Maybe, like me, you come from an uber-religious Christian family whose members you have personally heard saying things like, "Thou shalt suffer not a witch to live." And you've heard most of your life that witches are in league with Satan, and they steal babies to kill them and drink their blood, and yada yada, witchcraft yada. You've probably heard it before. I've heard it firsthand. Maybe you have too. That can make the prospect of coming out of the broom closet very intimidating. Who needs that bullshit, dealing with a family that likes to shout things like that at you? No, thank you. The prospect of alienating my entire family for the sake of being out of the broom closet wasn't really a viable option for me, nor was it the sort of thing I wanted to do. So, I picked my battles. Calm down! There were things that I, as the very clear black sheep of the family, held dear or believed or supported, felt emboldened to speak out against because they weren't related to religion. I had no problem speaking out and up against our former U.S. administration, even though it flew in the face of several of my family members' personal beliefs, inexplicably. And aside from my constantly asking myself, how am I even fucking related to this person? There was nothing nagging at me that made me keep quiet about the beliefs I hold in my core about how horrible that last administration was, especially while it was unfolding. I had no problem shouting from the rooftops. I think y'all have probably heard me say, fuck Trump, a few times at the very least. And that was a battle I was willing to fight with my family. But about religion, I wasn't willing to fight that battle until I was outed unceremoniously by a former friend who was also friends with one of my parents. The mark of a shitty friend, who's a shitty person with shitty ethics, is their willingness to spill the secrets you entrusted them with and that they swore to keep once your relationship goes south. Don't be that person. That's how I was outed to my immediate family. It was a fun day. It was a fun couple of years. That was the time I became partially out of the broom closet. It wasn't all out in the open, but enough of it was out in the open to remove any semblance of the safety of silence and anonymity I'd enjoyed for so many years. More than 25 years. I absolutely could have become that witch in the pointed witch's hat that marched to the Capitol with that witch's pride banner at that point, but I chose not to, for my own reasons. Reasons that I don't owe anybody any sort of explanation of. And you know what? I'm still valid. And that goes for you, too. If you're unable to burn candles for fear of being outed, if you're unable to cast a circle for fear of being outed, if you can't wear a pentacle pendant on the outside of your clothing, or a pentagram ring, or allow a tattoo to be visible, if you can't cleanse yourself, your ritual tools, or your living spaces with smoke, or if you can't burn incense, if you can't have visible altar tools or books on witchcraft visible for fear of a parent, spouse, sibling, child, or roommate seeing them and figuring you out, you are 100% valid as a witch. I promise. If you aren't able to talk about witchcraft in your home for fear of the walls having ears, if you're unable to cast a spell in the backyard during a full moon, if you're unable to listen to Twin Temple or Blackmore's Night or S.J. Tucker or Ginger Doss or black metal or whatever music might be heard and deemed as satanic or devil worship by those around you, you are still 100% valid. If you are having to live your life in a broom closet for any reason whatsoever, please listen to me. If you've heard nothing else this entire episode, please hear this. You are valid. And don't let anybody, anywhere, tell you anything differently. If you're in the closet, you're not a real witch. Turn on your heels and head the other way, because fuck that. You don't need that negative bullshit in your life or in your practice. Likewise, if you're out of the closet, try and show the utmost respect and compassion to those witches who are living in the broom closet. Chances are better than not that you were in the broom closet at some point of your practice, most likely at the beginning, and dog knows for how long. And if you weren't, if you're one of the lucky ones who has never seen the inside of a proverbial broom closet, someone that was born into an out witchcraft practice and never had to closet yourself to other family or friends or schoolmates or teachers, well, first of all, let me say you are truly one of the lucky ones, in my opinion. You've never known that stigma. You've probably never known the threat of eternal hellfire and damnation for not worshiping the God of Abraham or the Son of God, Jesus Christ. And it's never been a concern to you that somebody might see you and figure out why sometimes you end up naked in your backyard when the moon is full. I am truly envious of those of you who have never known the fear of being ostracized or persecuted or the threat of losing some of your freedoms or your job or your children or your scholarship or your friends, or your marriage, or your entire family. God damn, get on those bones. So be gentle on your broom closeted witch brethren and sisters. Practicing witchcraft in the closet is its own internal struggle for a lot of people, and still others are completely happy doing their own thing on their own terms. That's their business. And they are valid. These girls are going to town on these bones. Sorry, I'm an 11-year-old boy. If you're in the broom closet, here's a great tip from Susie at Terminally Homosexual on TikTok. Charm your jewelry. Enchant a pendant or a ring or bracelet or any other sort of jewelry. It doesn't even have to be magical jewelry. As Susie stated so eloquently, make it more spicy. Witch that shit up, y'all. Something I've done for a very long time is to enchant a pentacle, usually the one I wear the most often, to speak to me when I douse with it. It's a pendulum. You can do that to anything, anything you own that fits the physical bill for a pendulum, you know, a dangly bit on a chain. And wearing that pentacle only charges my pendulum and keeps it strong. I have other pendulums that I use regularly at home, but I don't carry them with me generally. I have many times taken off my pentacle and quieted away somewhere in a book stack or a restroom or a dressing room and divined an answer to a question using my pentacle as a pendulum. That's just one way. Enchant your jewelry for things like protection. or concentration for studying and writing, or the detection of spirit. Once, before the ending of a particularly toxic, volatile relationship, I enchanted a piece of jewelry that would help me detect misdeeds and untruths. Remarkably, at least to me, it wasn't for this relationship situation, but for something else concerning a friend that I thought had been lying to me. In the middle of a fight, my now ex-partner was screaming at me, hurling accusations that were patently untrue, and they knew it, and they knew I knew it, but still they continued on with their completely transparent attempts at deflection by lying about me to my face. My pinnacle might as well have just jumped to its death to get my attention. The sterling silver bale atop my pinnacle just broke. My pinnacle, heavy sterling silver, fell to the floor with an ominous thud that sort of quieted the room. The bale was now in two pieces on the ground, for no seemingly good reason. Could it have been a weak spot in the sterling silver, and at that moment it had endured just enough strain that it finally broke? Absolutely, you bet it could. Is that what it was? Well, you can't convince me of that. I think I enchanted that pinnacle, and it did its fucking job. That's what I think. I still have the pinnacle. I bought a new bale, and it was as good as new, and I still wear it. Enchant your jewelry for a great way to practice your spell work if you're in the broom closet. If you don't feel comfortable using essential oils, find a scent diffuser locket or pendant, the kind that allows you to drip essential oils or perfume oils onto a small pad of cotton to be able to diffuse a specific scent throughout the day or just for whatever reason you find, like a silent ritual. If you're in the broom closet, I would urge you to go back and listen to this podcast, Season 1, Episode 7, Casting a Circle in the Palm of Your Hand. I wrote this method many years ago for myself, and I've shared it with many people over the years. I wrote it mainly for places like the office, or at work, or at the bank, or a party, or waiting for your job interview to begin, or any situation where you find yourself sort of in an oh shit moment, but don't have the ability, the privacy, or the opportunity to run home and cast a full circle to perform a whole ass ritual. There are just going to be times when ain't nobody got time for that. Casting a circle in the palm of your hand is a really good way to hold a silent ritual for yourself without anyone else having any idea. If you're here in the U.S. and tomorrow on Thanksgiving find yourself surrounded by family members who don't accept the notion of witchcraft at all and certainly wouldn't accept you for practicing it, you can choose to exit the broom closet in an abrupt, less than graceful, unceremonious way by burning down the broom closet around you. Or you can continue to keep it to yourself and remain safely ensconced in your broom closet. And neither of those options make you any less valid. If you choose to stay silent about your practice and you need to squirrel yourself away into a spare bedroom for a moment of quiet, sit down somewhere comfortable. Meditate if that helps you. Cast a circle in the palm of your hand and shield yourself. Or take hold of the pentacle hidden beneath your sweater or t-shirt. Hold it tight and feel the warming protection from toxicity that you enchanted it with flowing right into your hands. You are valid, no matter from which side of the broom closet door you practice. I am so grateful for all of the exposure witchcraft has enjoyed in the last several years. Witchcraft being in the spotlight and face forward as much as it has been will only help normalize our beliefs and religions and practices. Mainstream witchcraft is super important to me and to so many of us in the Global Witchcraft Village. It helps people understand that the vast majority of us, anyway, don't actually eat babies. Please don't mistake my advocacy for witches being able to remain safely in their broom closets for some sort of disdain for the healthy mainstream exposure that only helps to normalize our beliefs. There's a brand new episode most Wednesdays, and as always, if you have questions or comments about this episode or any other episode of this podcast, you can find me on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. May you never hunger, and may you never thirst. As above, so below. If you liked it, subscribe and tell a friend. Sharing is caring. Have a wonderful Turkey Day tomorrow. Whatever you celebrate, remember it's about thanks. It ain't about pilgrims. I'm Molly Dyer. This is Witchcraft Off the Beaten Path. For real, you gotta calm down on that fucking bone.